there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude. I am your host this evening, Sean, and from the sounds of it, obviously we're talking about Homeland. And I'm here with...
Sam.
And on the Skype hotline, we have...
Tony Stark stabs the Night King, Sean.
And I'm Chris.
Come on, Chris, you couldn't come up with something more exciting?
Criminal Minds is better than SVU.
Oh, god damn it. We're not going into that conversation.
Do I have to bring up the guest list again?
No, we're going into Game of Thrones here. I actually watched the episode. We're talking Game of Thrones. So...
Robin Williams was...
You're so excited.
I'm like, god damn it, we're just talking about this. So that, if you're wondering, that's basically... That's our entire episode this week, is talking about The Long Night, Episode 3, Season 8. We've all seen it. This is probably, the first time all four of us have seen an episode?
I squinted at the first 20 minutes.
But... we'll get to that.
Just the first?
So who wants to start us off on this episode? I mean, thoughts?
Okay. I can go first.
All right, go ahead.
So, I feel like we're going to be jumping all over.
Yeah, it's like one thing happened, but it's a lot of pieces to that one thing.
Well, my biggest, I guess just to start off, my biggest gripe is the way the lighting was done.
My God, was it awful.
I think I mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago. I hate nighttime battle scenes because you can't actually see a lot of stuff. And I was watching kind of the filming behind everything, and it took 56 nights and over 11 weeks to film this whole episode, which, you know, it's fine. It's fine. If you have the money to do it, go for it. And that's the effect you want to get. But they use so many practical things, and a lot of that was candlelight and fire as a light source.
they tried going with as much natural light as possible.
Yeah, it annoyed the hell out of me, because there's certain things that you really want to see. So when we were in fighting inside Winterfell, it was kind of well lit enough where you knew exactly who you were looking at, what's going on. The crypt, okay, not so much, but outside.
Outside was, I couldn't tell what was, they're whites, right? The zombies?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So I couldn't tell the difference between a white and a normal person the whole time. And I know that was part of the point, but even when we were focusing on a main character, I still couldn't tell the difference between that main character and the whites.
Like, the one thing that annoyed me was, you're seeing your main characters fighting, and you know some of them are going to die, and, you can't really tell if they got stabbed or not, because you can't really see.
Like, was it Gwendoline Christie, Captain Phasma? But, she screams like she's being stabbed, every time you see her. And she's always got her back up against the wall, and there's, 30 of these whites on her. And I'm like, she's dead. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, she's still alive. No, she's dead now. Wait, no, I don't know what's going on.
I'm telling you, the Red Lady was the MVP when she, showed up and lit all those swords on fire. I was like, finally, I could see.
Yeah, right?
And then she lit the trench.
Yeah. She was definitely the MVP of this, because she was the lighting department. She was they spent all this money MVP on CGI and stuff in the practicals. We need some light. I'm here to supply that.
It's
weird
night.
When an actress is the lead lighting source on a TV crew. With this director, the thing that I like most about this director is that he really takes it to the point where he does almost a perfect job of making you kind of immersed in what's actually going on. So the first kind of opening battle, it's fear of the unknown, because you cannot see anything. And then when you see those lights go out, you're literally on the edge of your seat trying to look at the TV and see if you can see anything. Mm. But it's putting you in the point of view of these people on the front line who are essentially going up against these mystery creatures, And what's awesome about the Battle of the Bastards is that you feel wicked claustrophobic in that episode because he films it in such a way where you're actually, you're, the breath is coming out of you. And that's what he does a really good job of. And I think with the lack of lighting, I think that's what he was trying to get at.
I like the lack of lighting on the whites, but it's like the people who, you know, I care about and trying to see, it'd be nice for me to be able to see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's the point he was trying to get at when they were actually filming the show, though.
I know, but whatever his view was, I feel like failed miserably. Because
well, it didn't fail miserably.
I like that the whole tension of like seeing into the unknown. I mean, like we talked about it briefly last episode. It's like their plan first was to send all the horses with the only source of light towards.
Didn't I
things.
Tell you about the bad battle plan?
Yeah, no, this was a horrid battle plan followed by many horrible decisions.
Bunch of armchair generals over here, but okay.
No, but it's true. Like. Well, they have the guys with the fire swords on horseback, and they send them into the darkness to go fight something that's coming to you.
Here's the thing. Well, first of all, that's not how cavalry works. Right. Cavalry's an offensive thing. You can't use that in a defensive way. So, might as well use your cavalry at the beginning of the battle, and maybe you break the enemy center. Because they're going to envelop you no matter what, so you can't use them to protect your flanks. So might as well try to break the center.
But you don't know what... Like, you're literally charging into darkness. You have no idea what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And the army... You know the army's heading towards you. Why would you charge at an enemy that's coming towards you when you...
To try and break their center early.
Because that's how cavalry works.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, if you don't use them, then what good are they?
Yeah, but or cavalry can be used as a disruptor. Not just as an offensive
weapon. Yeah, they're disrupting
the
center.
Yeah, but you can also... The key with old cavalry battles and foot soldier battles is the time unto which you use it.
The one who uses it best. When are you going to use it better in that battle?
When you are completely outnumbered, which they were, obviously. When you're completely outmatched in the beginning, and then you swing, and then you send your cavalry forward to break the line back. That's what they should have done.
That's what they did, though.
But like,
they didn't do that. You're not gonna
flank that army. That army's too big.
Right.
I really don't think there's a tactical decision here that was really gonna sway anything. Let's be like totally honest.
Yeah.
Didn't exactly. I mean, I just lowered my lights like the first scene.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much it was fine the rest of the way. I did like goose my TV. As soon as there was, like, that break, like, 20 minutes in, like, in the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But really could pretty much see everything. So you just got to get a good TV with the good blacks, man. You know?
Yeah.
Here's crisp blacks, some local darkening.
But here's a big complaint that I have. So everybody went on, social media last night and complained about the lighting. Everybody.
Well, yeah, it suck.
And yeah, and the argument about the poor lighting was, well, your TV is wrong. Like that shouldn't be your argument for poor lighting, is that everyone's TVs were set incorrectly. Like nobody goes in like, "Oh, it's episode 3. Okay, we got to set our lights to be this." And we got to set, like, I understand it's a night shot. There have been plenty of movies and TV shows with night shots, and I understand it's the fear of not being able to see what's out there, but the first 20 minutes, it's pitch black, so you can't see what's out there. Then all of a sudden, the snow comes in, and you still can't see anything. Now, at least when the snow was there, you could see the lighting was a little better.
Well, my larger point about this is it was bad, sure, but it did not take me out of this episode.
No, absolutely not. That's we can true. All agree on that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. The battle was still awesome. Yeah. You know, I still enjoy... Like, I enjoy the fact that it was dark. I just thought they went a bit too dark.
Yeah, no, there's a way to film it where, like, where you look out into the abyss and you see nothing,
but
then you show the
I
people.
I really liked that scene with the Dothraki go charging out with their fire swords, and then they just all start... to disappear.
Like, disappear, and then they start charging
back.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of a great scene.
It was a cool scene, but, like, yeah. But when you have the line of light from above, and then you see the whites running into the light, that was an awesome shot too.
Yeah.
But that's where like using that darkness works. But, like, where
some of the one on one fight scenes were just a bit too dark.
Yeah.
Where, like, and I couldn't really
and
tell
a lot of the times too, during the one on one fight scenes where it was like big group battles, the editing was insane. It was like boom, 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 boom. Like, well, you couldn't quite focus on one thing. I couldn't.
That I think I'm okay with.
But it's an hour and a half of that, though.
You want the audience to be as disoriented as the fighters.
But it's a lot of that.
It creates a lot of tension.
Yeah.
And you're
I'm agreeing with Sam.
What is really going on?
I thought it was a lot of edit, like quick shots.
Yeah, but
well, that's just how they do shit these days. Like, I'm not even saying that's good or bad. Like, I mean, the problem is a lot of the battles have pretty much been like that.
Mm.
Like, you know, Battle of the Bastards, I really didn't think was like that well done. Like, I think Hard Home was great, which both of those are by the same Miguel Sapochnik. But you know, I agree with you to a certain extent, Sean. Like, it's a little incoherent, and I think the biggest problem is that there was, like, for 40 minutes, you're like, oh, this guy's on his last leg. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be able to fight him off, and then there's just, like, literal piles they're fighting on top of.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay. Another issue is it's just been, like, incomprehensible to figure out, like, what the actual score is. Like, do I know if the dragons live? Do I know if ghosts live? Do I know if certain characters made it through? Certainly looked like they were getting overwhelmed at times.
Yeah, this episode definitely needed some kind of epilogue.
Yeah.
Some kind of, like, okay, these are the people who survived.
I think that was the point of not knowing certain things, like ghosts, and I think there's a few more characters who we didn't see at the end.
I feel like we will get that answer in episode 4, but yes. The problem is it kind of like, let's say these characters all died and you find that out in episode 4, it's kind of like you've had a week to sit on this, and so like the death isn't as like,
yeah, he really needed some kind of epilogue.
Yeah.
Just as a kind of...
Because a lot happened.
One last complaint is this battle seemed maybe 10 minutes too long. Like, at a certain point, I was like, I kind of get it. They're going to lose.
There were a few parts that, like, I felt like it went a little long.
Okay, we're going to lose, like, 5 seconds in. When, like, the Dothraki just disappear. Which, by the way, I think, like, the whole them, all their swords lighting up was, and then them just charging and disappearing was just awesome.
Yeah.
Easily
it really the best gave part you scope.
Yeah.
It really gave you scope.
Yeah.
I think my biggest problem, I guess I started, so I'll just finish. I think the lighting thing, we already discussed it, so I don't want to do it anymore. No.
Yeah.
That was probably my biggest problem with the whole thing, but I loved it 10 times more than a lot of other stuff, because you did see, like, this was the point of this was to clearly show you that the living are not going to make it through this. That was the whole point, and I really thought that until the very, very end, obviously. Yeah. But
so I know a big complaint with this episode, and it kind of goes is where the series is at this point, plot armor. Ooh, the dryer just buzzed. plot armor, where there are deaths in this episode. The people who die aren't a big shock. Their stories have kind of like reached a good ending.
Okay, I've heard this argument. I have a counterpoint to this.
Okay, what's your counterpoint?
If you keep just killing off main characters, you become just as predictable as a show that doesn't kill off main characters.
Right, but in this,
like
we're literally...
You killed off some of the minor characters, and you didn't really kill off a main character.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Right.
Because I don't want uninteresting minor characters to stick around and the interesting characters to all die.
Right, but we're not saying, like, not we, but, like, the point isn't that, like, all the main characters need to die. It's there were several moments where a main character could have gone. Like they
that happens in every battle.
No, I know yeah. that, but
like literally all the battles are, oh no, we're not gonna win, and then they
every
like,
battle, oh, every I know, TV I know. Show, and every no,
but the thing with
welcome to cinematography.
Yeah. but like with Game of Thrones, they have a history of just like killing off a character to, for the shock value.
Yeah.
And
I've never really liked that about this show, where it's like, well, it doesn't fit.
Here's the problem, Sam. Everyone else does. Well,
let me explain.
It right. doesn't work narratively, and I'm just like
Sean, as a huge in? Fan of the show, Sean would know.
Yeah. Can I cut in? Can I cut go, in go right here on this one? The main characters, it's not the show that wrote them off. If you simply read the books, you'll know.
Oh, okay.
So it's not. It's not so, like the show is. Giving no, I know, but characters.
So it's the show is given direction by Martin, like George R. R. Martin said. This is how it ends.
That died has died in the books.
I understand that, but what I'm saying, like where we are, so everything that's going on has still been planned by George R. R. Martin. So the fact that
we don't really know that.
No, we don't know.
We have an idea that he knows what the end. No, he told them ending. So they're ending it the way that he said that it was going to end.
No, not they're not.
Sure. They're not. They're like straying from that.
Said, yeah.
He told John. You want me to explain it?
I think you got it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he said how it will end for the majority, almost all of them.
Okay.
The main stories, yes, obviously they know. But he said that they can swing it any way they really wanted.
Okay, so basically we're ignoring the books at this point.
At this point, oh yeah, we've been ignoring the books for probably the past half season, season before.
So then Chris, your argument about the books is null and void.
What main characters are you referring to that they killed off?
Like in this episode?
Well, what are the other characters that you keep talking about? Like main characters they randomly kill.
I just know that this is a show that does that.
Yeah.
They're famous for doing
like
that.
Like the big ones are Red Wedding, Ned Stark.
Right. But,
right. Those are all things George R. R. Martin's pretty much killed off.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, those were all dead in the
whereas
book anyway.
We're past right. where the books are. So you're saying, well, the books had these people die. Well, we're not in the book's hands anymore.
Well, name me a main character that was randomly killed that was just shocking. In the past two seasons, or one season.
Once again, we're not dealing with the books right now.
But yeah, but you just said that.
No, but you're trying to make the argument that the books right. are
okay,
the ones.
Okay, we're far into Sean argument here. Territory where I have no idea what we're actually arguing over anymore. So let's move on.
Sean think, needs to stop reading Chris about is, the blogs.
Yeah, I think Chris's larger point, and I agree with him, is that a lot of the stuff that happened in the books was really like... you know, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but it's been pretty like Old Testament versus New Testament ever since we've pretty much crossed over into the stuff that hasn't actually been in the books yet. Is that pretty safe to say? Like,
yeah,
it's pretty much been very like family friendly, so to speak.
And that, like, well, but that's my argument is that it went family friendly rather than sticking with
thing.
What it was.
Here's the thing. Everyone who survived this battle, I'm now going, ooh, I wonder what they do now, which is exactly what you want.
Right.
Like, we still have three episodes left. We need some kind of content.
No, yeah. No, then that, yeah, obviously, like.
And I'm really glad they kept characters around who I will, like, be like, ooh, I wonder what they do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they just were like, you know what, we're going to kill Brand off now. And just like, okay, so
yeah.
Why is he even here? Like, I don't even understand why he exists anymore.
Right.
So where do you think he was warging to pretty much that entire fight
scene? Someone said he was just watching Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. So, all right, here's kind of where I'm at with this episode. When it ended, I felt very like, oh, that was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that worked. That was, like, you know, thrilling and all that. I think the further you take a step back, and it does work on, like, a very basic level. Like, it totally does. But I think the further you take a step back, like, you know, part of the appeal of a show like this is the fantasy element and the myth making and all that, you know, all these prophecies and all that type of stuff. And while on one hand, the door's just going to close as things come to an end, you know, the possibilities become limited.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, all these theories and everything. But what I think the episode failed to do is there wasn't any big sort of mythical payoff that I think we were expecting to come true in some form of fashion. I think you saw, because this is a world with that does have magic, you know, where there are like weird things afoot.
Are you just upset that John didn't kill the Night King?
No, I'm more upset of like, we've killed the Night King. This whole storyline has come to completion.
Yeah.
And we really have no idea of really the nature of Bran. Like, I don't know what his powers are, what the point is, why he was even warging. Because all it seemed like in the TV show, in the episode, is that he was warging and then a bunch of birds, you know, warging into a bunch of birds that flew by a dragon. Like, that was pretty much it. Yeah.
Well, that could be something that gets answered next episode.
It could, yeah.
Right, it could. So I'm not going to come down too hard. And there are, you know, what, 4.5 hours left of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there could still be some stuff there. So, you know, maybe we could put to aside the stuff with Bran, because that still may, you know, come true or, you know, might get a little more information about. But I think... Really, though, the Night King, who's this big existential threat, who was sort of built up to be the worst of all.
Yeah, they spent many seasons building this guy up as the big bad guy.
Well, right. They did, but it was never really explained.
Right.
It was just sort of, well, this guy's here, and he's bad, and he's got a bunch of zombies.
Right.
Well, he was created to hate man. And he also, because of his creation, he hates his creators.
Well, Sam, you say that, but like the background of this character is like, or you know, the motivations. It's like it's a 2-minute flashback in Bran's memory.
Do you really need more than that, though?
I think I do.
The problem is that he's better the more mysterious he is.
Yeah, mysterious villain is really good.
You start explaining stuff, and like he's only gonna get dumber the more you explain him.
Yeah, especially a character like that.
Yeah, he's gonna just get dumber. Yeah. If you like explain his motivations and stuff.
No, like I understand there's an inherent like, well, this dude's just fucking evil, but. You can't just, like, defeat the guy by stabbing him and then the whole threat is, like, wiped out.
Yeah.
It's just, it's...
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you, the ending was a little anticlimactic.
It was, so the Night King dies.
There has to be, the problem is there has to be, like, in some ways, like, a puzzle that's solved, right?
Right.
Like, there has to be something that's sort of answered here and this is why he goes away. It can't just be, well, no one stabbed him before.
Yeah.
No one tried that.
Like, he's built up as this big bad guy. Everyone knows who the Night King is. Even if you don't watch the show, everyone knows who the Night King is. He seems like this big bad guy, and he's taken down because he's stabbed once. Like, it's kind of, like you said, it's anticlimactic for, like...
Right, and it's not only that it's, you know, they killed off the leader, it's that... Well, the whole thing is now dissolved,
right?
You know?
Right. So it's like, so we now have 3 episodes to focus on Cersei.
Yeah, Cersei and succession of the throne.
Which I read. I mean, you guys will probably yell at me for this, but I did read like a comment on YouTube about the ending, and it was like, it's like if the Avengers fought Galactus, defeated Galactus, and were like, oh shit, but the Shocker's still around. It's like you have this big bad guy who is literally earth-shattering
Cersei's
villain.
Is still
I know. She's still
she's
a big
threat.
She's
got the, Golden Army?
Golden Army.
It seems at this point, she's the only one with an army.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what makes her kind of intimidating.
We wonder how many people made it
right
after this.
Well,
whole thing.
You've got your main characters, and that's all. And a bunch of women and children in the crypt.
I don't know about anybody else, but, like, anybody else at the end of this battle being like, who the hell's going to clean this up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the toothless janitor with like three bristles on his broom. Son of a bitch.
Dang kids. Damn, but like, kids, not only do you have orgies. All the dead in your army, you also have an army of dead.
Yeah.
Who just died.
Stinking up the place. Yeah. No one is going to live in that city ever again.
Oh, are we staying at the ending? Like the
you
final?
Can go wherever you want.
We're jumping around.
It's what, like, the whole episode's one battle. There's bits and pieces of the battle.
I guess the ending is anticlimactic, but
I mean, I wouldn't even call it anticlimactic. I just think it's not. It was very micro for what was a giant macro conflict. Like, it didn't, fit the scale and epic, I don't want to say epicness, but really epicness of the rest of the tale.
But here's, when you're looking at it, just conceptually, it's, you know, I think this is what they're trying to do when they obviously were filming it and writing this script for this one. There's so many dead. If they don't do anything to simply just try and kill the Night King, they're going to die. And probably the best way to do it is one-on-one, sneak up and get them.
Right.
Because the Night King...
Arya's way that she killed the Night King was pretty awesome.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just the reason why the Night King is so like feared is that he raises the dead, clearly. And his power is surrounding him with people who will fight for him. It looks like. Granted, we've never actually seen him like fight, but you know, his offense is what he did with Jon Snow. Jon Snow was trying to run and like, you know, slay him, but the Night King just raised like hundreds of dead people and surrounded him to protect them. That's his shtick, you know?
Yeah.
So it's you're not going to get a one-on-one fight with the Night King. You weren't going to get it. You never were.
Yeah, well, we know that now, but...
Well, conceptually, you just never were going to get it.
Yeah, but like...
He was never going to be isolated enough.
Like, he's not dumb enough to face someone off one-on-one.
Right, but it seemed very much like Jon Snow was going to... Like he kept staring him down.
That was a tease. That was like, oh, we're gonna get the fight, and then he raised the dead, and you were like, oh right, that's his thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's his shtick.
Like, he's not like an egomaniac.
He's just sitting there like, oh, look at my powers, and like, Jon Snow's like, hold on, my foot's in a bear trap. I'll get to you eventually. Hold on, stay there.
But that's the thing is that like, he's not like an egomaniac who's like, oh yeah, I have to face out John to like prove my worth.
Right, right.
He's the personification of death. He doesn't give a shit who's who.
No,
he just wants to wipe out humanity.
I don't think it's that the Night King wanted to face off against John. I just feel like they set it up with like him staring him down so many times throughout all the episodes. Like,
but
there was going to be a confrontation, but there never was.
I think they were just teasing the fans because every single fan was like, oh yeah, Jon's going to kill the Night King.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is with the fan base of Game of Thrones, you clearly know that there's many other scenarios that could kind of play out.
Yeah.
as if you've been watching for the previous seasons, you never really, nothing's set in stone.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, so like we shouldn't be really surprised that Jon didn't kill the Night King.
No, you should not be surprised at all.
That scene where he's staring him down and like apparently he's like 500 yards away from him when it appears they're like really close to each other, and he's just like running, well, light jogging towards him, what it appears based on the camera, because it's like his point of view and it's like barely a walk, and
yeah,
then
but
it gets a little faster,
he is only
and then
like
it gets a little
five.
Faster.
Is only like 5.5 feet tall, so he does have to take a lot of steps. You know,
and then he raises the army, which is kind of cool. Well, I mean, kind of cool. It is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh shit, Jon Snow is like, he's fucked now. And then obviously Deus Ex Machina shows up and saves the day.
Jon Snow's old friend.
Fire. Which that was cool that the like the Night King was able to survive the dragon.
That was a cool fight. Scene. Like, where that he was just awesome. Smirks at her and like, yeah. Oh shit. That's
yeah. Right. It's but like that further sets up like it's going to be almost impossible to take this guy down. It's going to take something huge to take this guy down. They're still building him up. Like this is like fire doesn't stop this guy. Like,
but here's the thing. Here's the counter argument to like you need something big to take him down.
Right.
The Death Star.
The what?
The Death Star.
Oh.
You think that would have worked?
Use that as... Yeah. Shoot a photon torpedo up his exhaust pipe. But
if you know what I mean.
But no, but my point is, like... maybe that's why he survived so long, is that there you constantly think it's got to be something big to take him down. But it was just a dagger that took him down.
Yeah. Remember, this is a fantasy, though. So,
well, so Star Wars.
Little things like talismans and necklaces hold a lot of worth in fantasy novels and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, and I just feel like, I don't know, there was some sort of promise made. And listen, part of this, I didn't want to say universe, but, well, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, it's a universe.
This world. You know, there's a lot of prophecy making, but a lot of it is like pretty accepted that it's like fucking, it's bullshit. Like it's not real. It's like people making up stories. Mm-hmm. Like some of it is real, but it's not as if everything that people say comes true, you know? Yeah, like there's some people that are just, you know, either, you know, wittingly or unwittingly just peddling stuff that's just, you know, made up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, has no actual, like, it's never going to happen. So, but it just, I don't know. It just seems like a super small, I don't know, it just didn't fit the bill. It's like, you know, we've had all these seasons and everything, and it just didn't seem to live up to the moment, you know? Like, I'm just watching it now, and it's like the part where the red lady goes and lights the trench or whatever.
Yeah.
And that trench, man, great job. That really worked.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Like, Dany is, like, refusing to fly low enough so she can see what's going on for some reason. Like, she's like, no, we got to stay in the clouds for some reason.
She's disoriented, though.
Yeah.
Her and John
they
are both
say that, or because
no, it's because they rammed into each other because dragons can't echo navigate because you know
they're freaking dragons.
Exactly,
John.
Sam. They could do anything. They're make believe.
They don't actually say that.
Wyvern argument again.
But part of the thing is that there's a huge snowstorm.
Yeah, no, I know.
Zero visibility.
But like, so there's zero visibility. She is looking for a signal because that is part of the plan, that she's going to see the signal for them, you know, to light the trench. But she's not flying close enough to see it. And you even see it because there's...
She doesn't know where she is, though.
I'm pretty sure she does. No, if she doesn't, the dragon probably
We're just
does.
Talking about literally why she didn't do it. Well, yeah, it's pretty obvious. I mean, did you watch the show?
I did.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, she's up there, like, she's not, like, her and the dragon don't fly close. Like, and John is literally standing there, like, where are you, Dany? Like, you gotta light this. Like, he's sitting there with the dragon, watching them go, it's not lighting, it's not lighting, and he's not doing anything.
Yeah. There's a lot of, he was sitting around for a little while.
Like, he was literally, and then.
But that's the flaw with this. There's too much going on. In this hour and a half.
Yeah. The other thing that angered me is, so they finally got the trench lit, right? And then everybody just stares in awe at all the whites.
Yeah, right?
Like, just shoot arrows. Start taking them out. Like, you can clearly see everybody. They're just standing there.
Here's the counter argument to that.
Yeah.
By this point, you know you're not going to kill all of them.
I know.
So... You're kind of, everyone's kind of just standing around going, oh shit, we're going to die.
Yeah. It took a while for, and then they start throwing themselves on the fire.
Yeah, which.
Which
is cool. And like, it reinforces the point, oh shit, we're all going
to
die.
I don't understand why nobody decided to take a shot. Like, no one. If I was faced up against that and like, I'm going to die, I'm going to take as many of these things out with me as possible.
You can assume somebody shot an arrow.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, that was a big. That was Winterfell was a lot bigger than that.
No, and that shows when they're protecting, was it Bran or what or whatever the wheelchair kid.
Bran,
yeah. When they're like when they're like,
you watch one episode and think you know.
No. Like,
you know, Ironsides, whatever.
Yeah, Ironsides. You know, but like they're that group of men who are to protect him at all costs, and the whites start coming, and they're like, okay, thank God we each grabbed 20 arrows, because they showed the.
They don't have unlimited arrows.
John. I know that, but it's just kind of funny that like they each only have like a thing of 20 arrows.
Well, here, okay,
quiver. Like, that's it. It's a quiver.
Also, the point is, never really understood what the deal was with the ice dragon. Like, what was it? Was it ice fire? Was it ice? Yeah.
Blue flame.
I heard that like in a previous episode, it was able to destroy walls with its flame.
Yeah, destroy the wall.
But,
wall, yeah.
Oh yeah, the wall. That's right. I did watch that episode. Right. But in
as
this
have
case,
most of the people who are listening.
Yeah, but in this case, it couldn't when John was hiding behind it, because there were so many times that it blew that blue flame at a wall that John was behind, and it didn't touch the wall.
Oh god.
Well, one's made out of snow.
You are going down some really deep threads here.
Hey.
All right. Okay.
You just.
I'm bringing up
an argument that has been brought up by fans.
This
like,
is getting into right. those bombers in Last Jedi don't work territory,
<they don't.
laughs> where it's like, who the fuck cares? It's a freaking dragon.
Yeah,
okay?
you're really going down some
it's
holes.
It's a thing
that we need
called
to stay
suspended
out
disbelief.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
all
right. Can we move us along? What standout deaths?
There was the little girl who was crushed by the giant.
Oh, Lady Mormont.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fitting. I think that was a good fitting to her character.
Yeah.
What's
their house? Mormont, right?
Yeah.
Their house is
going to be
the dude fighting with Danny out in the middle of the
he
white.
Was a Mormont.
Yeah. But like his death, that was like, because, okay, for me, like half the people look the same, but I know him. So I'm like, oh, I remember him from a long time ago. And
I just wanted him to just say one more time, don't let them touch you.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was probably most fitting
him. Like that was probably
that was his purpose,
powerful.
You know,
yeah.
to protect Danny. So that was, I don't know. I thought that was kind of a touching and fitting end. To
yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your boy, Beric, Dundarian. Done with this show.
Yeah, that was an interesting death too. I didn't expect him to be one of the ones. Well, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I feel like there's Arya. not a lot of people who are alive on this show who haven't been stabbed like six times already.
Yeah,
like it seemed like, and the people that are dead have been stabbed like 20 times.
Yeah, like just, it's like at least 15 times you have to be stabbed before you can die.
Yeah, like I realize it's not as clean as, oh, you're hit by a sword, you die. But it just seems like the hit points, you know, a lot of hit points for the main characters here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who didn't die, surprisingly? Sam. How did he not die?
My boy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
He indirectly caused two people to die, and then while he's rolling around in the dead bodies there at the end, in the courtyard, where there's whites running around and a dragon, and he's fine.
Look, it's just
I like
part
somebody
of the story.
Made the point. Like everybody's been complaining about Sam being like all crying and stuff, but somebody made the point, it was like, oh, come on, we're all Sam in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Who else? The Theon. That was a kind of a redeeming moment right there for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
For once, Bran not saying something that's creepy but actually touching.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got Theon. I'm happy the way he went out. That was kind of a nice moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was also like what he said beforehand too. I'm sorry for what I've done to you, and Bran kind of giving him forgiveness, you know?
Yeah. Well, Bran saying, like, everything you've done has led you to here. So, like, don't feel you're bad about it.
Yeah, you're a good man, you know?
Yeah. Question, the Red Lady, hey, why, did anybody, also, why'd she die?
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but did everybody else notice that he was holding a pike?
Yeah.
Which is, like, the, I guess, the not the sigil of...
that's the name of the city or the town.
That's the name of the, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Pike is the capital of the Iron Islands.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Sorry, I just thought it was cool. But, I just thought it was a cool
if you watch like the show, Sean, you would be like, oh, okay, that's touching.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, like, you know.
Did you notice it was winter and people fell in Winterfell? Wow, who knew? Anyways, sorry.
Well, that is where winter fell.
That's true. But okay, so the Red Lady or whatever her name is.
Melisandre.
What? Why at the end?
So
I need explanation.
She's an old lady, right? Like a really old lady in real life, and that necklace is basically keeping her alive.
All right.
So after the battle, Night King's finished. Her job is done.
What was her job?
To stop the Night King.
Okay. That's all I needed.
No. Uh-oh. I mean, not originally.
Well, she had difficulty hearing the messages from the Lord of Light.
Right. Well, he was trying to find the prince that was promised. Yeah. And
she didn't really. She originally thought it was whoever got the throne, but really, it was whoever could stop the Night King.
Then she looked into some fire, and it was really fucked up, and you know. I think she realized that it was they needed all the help they could get to stop the threat.
Yeah.
Which they took care of in one episode.
They did. That was a kind of a plus. Because it's going to be, you know, I need an episode. I need like a reaction episode and a setup episode because after Endgame and after this, I kind of emotionally am drained.
Somebody pointed out the fact in the previous episode when Tyrion says, I think we'll live. Everyone in that room survived.
Yeah, everyone survived.
So he still knows things.
Apparently.
Touching little moment with Sansa and Tyrion down in the crypt.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Who else thought they were going to off themselves?
I thought they were going to go Romeo and Juliet. I thought
there
was
a chance, yeah.
I was like, okay, this is going to get unusually dark for the show. Yeah. I mean, this show is dark,
right?
But like, people just off of themselves.
Like, but like that would be a situation where it would be a main character death where you're like, I did not see that coming.
No, you saw that coming a mile away.
No, but like,
how do you not see that coming?
The moment, yeah, I understand. But like, Sansa and was it Tyrion? Like they're the main, like some of the main characters. Like
to be fair, they're kind of.
But you see it.
I don't
think you don't watch the show, so I'm trying to like let you down gently here.
But
like that was the end. There was no out of those crypts, and they clearly looked like they didn't want to turn into one of those things.
Right. I'm confused where you're trying to make an argument.
You know, the foreshadowing there is during the Battle of Blackwater. Sansa is with Cersei, whose plan is pretty much to fucking drink poison rather than die. Fans of Stannis. So she's already been there. So kind of had some flashbacks to that moment. So that's why, you know, them killing themselves was kind of in play. And then what did they... But it was weird because then they decide to, I guess, fight. But then
they didn't fight.
Like hiding. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're both. I think honestly that was a moment to set up later on.
Yeah,
where like they're getting close again.
Yeah.
Later on, insofar as like episodes to come.
Yeah. I think that's a moment that'll play later on.
Sure. And, you know, I think a part of the season, you know, we're discussing the blow-by-blow, but it's probably going to be best judged, the six episodes, just as a whole, once everything's known, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm really curious on, like, what does the North do now?
Yeah.
Because the North was not happy that Dany was there. But now she helped stop the Army of the Dead. And in the look to the next episode, she seemed like she was rallying them.
Did she?
Well, she's like, she was in like a...
Did she really do anything that they didn't already have? Well, I don't know.
She had dragons. That kind of helped.
But did the dragon stab the Night King, or did Arya?
The Unsullied, like, they sacrificed like half the Unsullied to protect everybody else retreating in.
I'm just the devil's advocate here.
Because in the previews, there are still Unsullied left, so yeah. They were somewhere. They were hiding somewhere.
So question:
Grey Worm not dying, just an all-time upset.
Yeah,
Grey Worm not dying. I mean, I don't think I see him in the last 20 minutes. So maybe he's dead. I don't know.
No, there was. Well, he was still alive.
He did give "I retire in like 2 weeks" speech.
I do have an update on the death pool when we're done.
All right. Well, question. So this was the long night, and it seemed to be quite a short night for some reason.
Well, I thought it was like 10 minutes too long, but
no. I mean, like, it ends with dawn, like,
yeah,
and like the storm's over, and like very convenient for the storm.
Okay, it's
no, but
well, like the Night King made the storm.
Oh,
so.
Did he? Okay. I didn't know that was part of his power.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole part of it, dude. Like,
oh, that's...
He brings the darkness and the storm, pretty much.
Yeah, so, like, it's I don't want to say literary, but narratively appropriate that it comes with dawn.
Can we talk about a really cool scene that we haven't touched upon?
The raptors in the kitchen scene?
You mean the walkers in any inside area in the Walking Dead scene? No, I want to talk about the dragon fight. How beautiful that looked.
Oh, when they came up.
Yes.
In
front of the moon, above the storm. Oh my god, that looked amazing.
It's almost as good. I know we're not supposed to spoil Avengers.
No, don't spoil.
But you all know the scene that I'm talking about in terms of visually amazing scene.
Oh, okay.
Like, it kind of reminded me of that. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, the other one was, oh, shit. But, like, this one was like, wow, that's, like, beautiful.
No, it looked beautiful. It looked really good. I mean, it was kind of obvious what was about to happen because they're, like, floating above the clouds like, where is he? Is he up there? Is he over there? It's like he's gonna come up from underneath you, like, obviously. But it was still a beautiful scene.
Like, awesome.
It looked awesome. So
it's, you know, it's funny too because this is the least of all of that last night. It was kind of more of the least interesting things for me, or the least things I cared about.
Visually, I thought it was like the best part of the whole episode.
Yeah, it was visually, I'm with you, it's visually stunning, where it's just, you see the dragons.
I thought the best done part of the whole episode were those like close quarter moments inside. I thought that came out really good.
In the like library?
Yeah. I thought part of that was, it was a nice change too, although it was kind of weird because it gave you the sense that like they were just all of a sudden like totally overrun, which at that moment it wasn't like super clear that that would have been the case. Like, they still fighting in the courtyard, yet, you know, the walkers would be all over the place.
Yeah, or, you know, it was whites. It was a very odd situation because it was like they're roaming around inside, but there's no, like, they didn't force their way in. It's like they were just inside.
Yeah, but it's not like it was a good
huge castle.
It was a good 15 minutes of like, all right, let me slow my heart rate down here a little bit.
It,
you know, the suspense and like the action were just were very overwhelming for the first hour.
Yeah,
right. Much like other relevant popular culture things, you know, having a 2 hour or hour and a half long battle scene is just not good storytelling.
No, I didn't mind it. The you know, gratuitous scene of somebody hiding from something that's stalking them in a close quarter area by being stealthy. I thought it was like so stupid and gimmicky when like the blood attracted one of them. Like, when her, like, shuffling around and moving around, like makes no sound, but like blood dripping.
Well, okay, here's the thing. But she's a trained assassin.
I understand that. She's a trained assassin to be quiet, which is fine. But like literally blood dripping on the floor, like a zombie can hear that.
I think they can.
Well, you don't know.
I think it's the smell, maybe too.
Yeah, but she has it pouring off of her. So you think they would be able to sense her?
We don't know what they can sense and what they don't.
I know, but
it's fantasy, Sean.
But going off of the trained assassin,
sometimes it gets the best of me.
Going off the trained assassin, why did she scream before she attacked him? To spoil the...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, but I'm serious. Like, this is
for fuck's sake. It's dramatic. You I know, piece of shit.
But obviously it gets his attention.
Sam, can that be the episode title?
Well, Sam's dying, so...
Okay.
But here's the thing. With Arya killing the Night King, either you love it or you hate it. It's literally split in half on like people who like
not.
It. Okay, it's not. So
okay, there's like some people who all right, like,
so
really
everybody
wanted Jon to do it and they're just right. upset. And then there's most of us who are like, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My whole thing with Arya was like, why'd it take you so long? You watched forgot his name.
Yeah.
He's in my Liverpool, but
Pikeman die. Yeah, she watched
right,
him.
Yeah, she's small too. Melisandre though, telling her, what do we say to the god of death, like not today, like
yeah.
That was great.
That was a great
scene. That was pretty cool.
Why was that cool, Sean?
Why was that cool? I mean, it's like you don't have to understand it. It's like she's on a mission at that point. Like, that's how I felt. Like,
you completely missed the point.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I don't watch the show.
If you watch season one, you'd understand that's a callback.
Okay.
Where Ned gave her a sword teacher from Davos.
All right.
Who said, there's only one god.
All right.
And it's the god of death. And what do we say to the god of death?
Not today, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That was her beginning of her training. So then you're like, oh shit, this has all come together.
Yeah. All right.
Which I thought a thought occurred to me about Ned's buried in the crypt as
yes,
well, right?
Yes.
Could he come back because he doesn't have a head?
No.
The head operate separately?
It looks.
You have to worry about two of them now.
Well, the problem is I'm like watching a zombie show and then I just watch an episode basically about zombies. So I'm like, oh, which one makes, like, which one is supposed to be, like, canon for how to kill them? Because it felt like they were chopping off arms and, like, they were just shattering into pieces.
Well, they're decaying.
Right. But, like, I don't know if, like, you chop the head off, like, does the body still work? Or, like, does the head still, like, start biting on the ground if they're not too decayed?
I'm assuming, like, it's one of those, like, if you can get the head, they kind of die. But also, just if you can shatter them.
Yeah.
Well, also, Dragon Glass. So, Dragon
Glass. Oh, yeah, Dragon Glass.
If you hit them
and
with
Valyrian Steel and, you know.
Those can kill White Walkers, so I'm assuming it works the same as Whites.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how the White Walkers and the Night King explode. I don't know, it's just a random thought. Like, they just.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no!
I don't know how much I got left for this episode.
No, yeah, we're pretty much reaching the end of this episode. I'm assuming.
So, spoiler: I have seen a picture from the next episode, and Ghost did survive. So, booyah!
Oh yeah. So, so how is our Deadpool doing, Chris?
Well, any final thoughts on this episode?
I think we covered
a lot.
This
was a very well done, but I still don't think it's one of the best of all of the show episodes.
From the people at work that all watch it, it kind of like. John, you sort of touched on it, like at first they were like, that was an amazing episode, but as time passed they were like, maybe it wasn't as good as I thought. Like that's how their thinking at work was. So
I think
not an A, it's a
better.
B.
Yeah, I like when you first, yeah, like you first watch it, you come out of it, you're like, that was amazing, and then it's like, maybe it wasn't.
No, no, I had this thought the second after I finished watching. I think there are better ones, but I think this would have been better if they had a smaller cast to work with.
Yeah,
I think it's just the amount of stuff that was going on in this episode was a lot, and I think they could have done a little bit more. I don't know. They could have done it a little bit better if they cut down on the cast. But clearly you can't have that because that's what it was. Oh. That's what this episode was.
You know what? One takeaway. The Night King obviously has not been training on Javelin in a while. Like, he took some time off and he's still a little rusty. Because he missed at point blank range.
Jesus.
Yeah, man.
It was a joke, Chris. It was a joke. Calm down.
Or simply... Viserion knows to turn left.
Chris, it's a joke.
The dragons are on point.
Okay, counterpoint, John.
Dragon, oh, God.
Man. Counterpoint to that.
Yeah.
What if the first dragon was just a lucky shot by the...
An extremely
lucky shot. Like, he turned to the other White Walkers, was like, did you see that, guys? Oh, you owe me a beer! Everyone owes me a beer!
Are we down to how many...
Second though,
what?
Like, I didn't like how, like, John, like, what was it? It was the one John's riding, Chris. Rhaegal. No, yeah, Rhaegal. How, like, he just, like, lands and, like, never comes back into the battle.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask.
Yeah, then Danny's riding Drogon and, like, just, like, lets, like, a Black Hawk Down type situation happen. Where just 1,000 like whites just start stabbing him and like, yeah. I don't know. I didn't like that. It wasn't like very clear at all. Like obviously there's one dragon that's still alive, and I'm pretty sure both are. But
yeah,
it
like,
seemed like
yeah,
they
once,
were both like dead or
yeah.
Like,
once John fell off of his dragon, it's like you only saw one dragon from there on out alive, but they didn't show the other dragon dead.
Yeah, and
no,
like,
they just showed it crashing.
There's so many moving pieces in this episode that it was like always going to be tough to have a complete inventory, especially when, you know, the coda is like right at the end of the battle, pretty much.
Yeah.
But still, it would have.
I think this episode could have benefited from like an epilogue.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
Yeah, that's going to be next week to some extent. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like. I feel like watching this on a binge, like the dude, when Sean finally goes through the whole series,
which will probably never happen,
and just binges this season, maybe it'll be a little bit more coherent. I don't know. But what? How's the Death Pool doing, man?
Well, Liverpool.
So for the actually, we only have one person lost.
Wow.
Out of our entire cast here of characters, so Theon. And that falls under Sam.
Yeah.
So, point totals, John's in first place with 12.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, you and I are tied in second with 11.
Yep. Wait, who did you... Oh, no, I shouldn't be at 11, I should be at 10.
3, 6, 9, 10. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, me and you were at 10.
Oh, wait, then, who do you have that wasn't in this episode?
Bronn. I have Bronn.
Oh, Bronn wasn't in this episode?
No.
Oh, I don't know. There's one guy named Bronn and one guy named Bran. It's to me.
Yeah,
it's
there's
the
two different
name.
People.
I know.
Gotcha.
And then, Sam, you are in last place because
one's in a wheelchair,
lost.
The other had sex with three more women at once, okay?
So, yeah, and then Sam, you're next with 9 because Theon.
Yeah.
Theon's out.
So you lost your point.
Yep. Not sure if we'll see Yara again.
Can I get
again?
Like an extra point for how like epic of a death that
no.
was? Or
no.
No.
Come on. It was the best death of the battle. Half
maybe.
A point.
Well, I'm saying maybe on the best death of the battle. The dude with Danny was pretty heartbreaking. Because, like, the dude got stabbed, like, so many times. And he was still up fighting till the end.
Yeah, he was still on his feet until, like, they all died. Yeah.
And
then
he
okay,
just collapsed.
Now I'm going to kneel down.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that was probably the best death. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. So three episodes left.
Yeah, and it looks like they're focusing on the throne, which is going to be interesting.
Weird in a show called Game of Thrones. Yeah. I mean.
Now, are we going to take bets on how long it actually takes them to march south? Because it should be about a month, but I have a feeling it's going to take half an episode.
Well, who's leading them? Because if it's Jon, they'll be there in like 2 minutes.
But if it's Varys, he'll be there in 10 seconds.
That's true.
So, that's another reference.
Too bad the Night King isn't around, because, I mean, if the Night King was leading the army, they would take, like, 7 seasons.
Who's to say that we don't currently have a Night King?
Okay.
Wow, that's bold.
Yep.
Night King, whoa!
Anyway.
I can end on that note.
Yeah, all right, well, I guess we'll end on that note. So you can find all of our episodes on Podbean and Stitcher and iTunes. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Send us a message, a review, and hopefully we'll see you next week and review another episode.
Bye.